Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. Bad traffic is a good time for podcasting because I'm bumper to bumper for like 10 to 15 minutes every day on my commute. So each week, a brand new episode on Mondays most of the time, and we'll talk about things related to teaching. And I don't pretend to be an expert on any of this stuff. I'm just a guy who does the work, shows up every day, and as a high school instructional coach, I work with people in all content areas. And as a speaker, writer, presenter, I work with people all over the world. So let's connect. Let's figure out ways to change the game and things that are working in your classroom that can maybe work for other classrooms or things that you're having trouble with in your classroom. You might be able to get some feedback from people who are doing similar cool stuff in schools all over the world. This week, we're talking about honesty and showing up for ourselves. More on that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, like I said, new episodes every Monday, give or take, feel free to hit that subscribe button or leave a comment. If you like it, give it a rating. It helps other people find it. Hooray! That's cool. If you want to talk to me further, feel free to hit me up on the internet. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. I love teaching and I want to get better at it each and every day. And I have a website. It's adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I am fired up to do this job and I would love to connect with teachers who are fired up and ways that we could fire each other up. I think that steel sharpens steel. Let's run together. Let's make each other faster and stronger. I have a bunch of templates and resources you can borrow from my website. And when I say borrow, I mean steal. Use them in any way you like. Just let me know how they're going. I would love to hear that. Like, let's build on each other. Let's collaborate with one another. T.S. Eliot, the famous American author and poet and a literary critic, said, you know, mediocre writers borrow, great writers steal. So please, steal unabashedly, steal liberally. To use another quote from St. Thomas Aquinas in the Christian tradition, he says, sin boldly. If you're going to do it, go whole hog. That's actually very similar to a quote from Huckleberry Finn from Mark Twain. You know, if you're going to do it, if you're going to sin a little bit, why not go? He says, all right, then I'll go to hell. And if you're going to do it, man, may as well. But speaking of Mark Twain, I have a quote from Mark Twain that really is the inspiration for today's podcast. And it has this, and I apologize, American literature, right? So I tend to quote American literature authors a lot. But Twain said famously, or so says the internet, Twain famously said, quote, if you never tell a lie, then you won't have to remember anything. if you always tell the truth, you won't have to remember anything. And I love that as a quote, if you never tell a lie, then you won't have to remember anything. I think about that with Mark Twain. He's a satirist, right? He's a humorist and he's a political activist, but he's doing it in a way that he's always using a little bit of subterfuge, a little bit of cleverness, a little bit of tongue firmly planted in cheek. I think about Sacha Baron Cohen as a contemporary example of that. There's a fantastic speech that Sacha Baron Cohen gave to the ADL, I think it was last year in the fall, right about this time. It was the Never Is Now Summit, and he was their keynote speaker. And he talks about the power of media to spread fake news. And he's like, I bet you think it's funny that I'm up here as a comedian receiving an award from such a serious organization. And Never Is Now, of course, we always say, like, never again about the Holocaust. But the theme of the presentation, the theme of the award weekend, and the theme of the summit was, hey, if fake news runs unchecked, if lies and rumors go, you know, uncalled out, then what winds up happening is, what's that saying? You know, the truth can make it around the block before the pants, a lie can make it around the block before truth has had time to even put his pants on. Like, first thing in the morning, you wake up and lies spread quickly. In a time of fake news, a time of the election cycle, right? There's so much out there that very quickly can be polluted and misinterpreted or, you know, maybe fabricated. And unfortunately, it takes a lot of time to play whack-a-mole to kind of take things down from the internet. I've had that happen for me both in a positive and a negative way. When things of mine go viral in a small limited sphere that we have here on teacher Twitter or on education spaces, it's great to see it just blown up in whatever circles it is. Oh man, now it's on Instagram. It's on another teacher's webpage. It's being, you know, blogged and retweeted and podcasted about. How cool. But when something goes bad or something goes poorly, very quickly, that bad news travels fast too. And I've been on the unfortunate receiving end of some, you know, I won't say viral, but a number of times on the internet when you find yourself at odds with someone, you have a lot of fires to put out when you wake up and you look at your Twitter feed in the morning. And that's really hard. So I talk about telling the truth in this time of a political election cycle, because a lot of us as educators are dealing with students and dealing with families and dealing with, you know, administrations who are understandably tense one way or another about the U.S. election cycle. If you're not in the U.S., I'm sure you're still keeping eyes on the general tenor of the world and though the United States may not be as important as we like to believe that we are, there is no doubt that the United States plays a major role in, you know, global politics and foreign policy all over the world. So whether we have 4 more years of the current sitting president, or we have 4 years of a new president, it's the type of thing that makes eyes of the world for maybe 1 or 2 days or 1 or 2 weeks or maybe 1 or 2 months, Lord knows, turn and face the U.S. and say, just what the heck is going on over there? And as teachers, we want to not lie to our students ever, ever, ever. We want to be direct, but we want to have reasons for them to be trusting in us, because if they see that we are vulnerable with them, then they're more likely to be, you know, open with us. And not so vulnerable as to say, well, hey, I'm going to sit there and cry in the, you know, my beer and tell you all the stories about, you know, my heartbreak. They don't need that. But they do need to see that you're human, that you're flawed. I talk openly in my own classes about my struggles with mental health. Like I've said on numerous podcasts in the past 4 or 5 weeks, it just, as it turned out, like, yeah, I see a counselor. I've seen a counselor for like 4 years. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I wear glasses too. You can kind of see that, you know, quote, disability. You can see that, I guess, accommodation that's being made because I learn differently. I'm dyslexic. You know, I have ADD. I think that's abundantly clear when you talk to me for 3 seconds. I don't even consider them, you know, struggles. I don't even say, like, I struggle with ADD. I struggle with dyslexia. Like, I don't. I think it's just part of who I am. Like you would say, I struggle with the fact that my fingernails are long or my fingernails are short. It's just part of you. Could you change it? I mean, I guess, but why? Like, it's a part of who you're made up to be. Again, back to that Mark Twain quote. If you never tell a lie, you don't have to remember anything. Like, yeah, I'm dyslexic, and sometimes reading things just flip around on me. But I'm great with visuals because of that, and I learned to maybe overcompensate and develop other muscles. It's like Popeye the Sailor Man, you know, if his legs are really scrawny and tiny, he has this big upper body, the big biceps. Your body tends to overcompensate. Athletes, in both good and bad ways, a lot of times when they're coming back from injury, if they've, like, pulled their tricep, you'll find that they have to be very, very careful not to overcompensate using the same strength from their biceps, because their tendency is to say, well, hey, I know how much it takes to knock somebody over, how to lift this thing up. If I can't do it this way, let me try it this way. And, you know, if you can't do it from one door, you go from the second door. And that's kind of where you smash into stuff. So all this to say, like, as we try to not lie to our students and not overcompensate with, you know, fake versions of self, we do want to be vulnerable. We want to be real. I think the challenge in this political time and in this time of being an adult, when you recognize you are working with children, is you also have to convey some degree, a sense of, like, calm, a sense of order, a sense of strength. Yes, you want to be vulnerable with your students, but you don't want to ever make them feel like you have no idea what's going on. But I want to challenge that gently. You know, again, that Mark Twain quote and the Sacha Baron Cohen piece, like, truth does take a long time to get out of the blocks. While the fake news and, you know, the spin and the viral can get out there really quickly. So giving yourself a moment to, and I guess now it's sort of new agey and maybe a little bit of BS, maybe too squishy, but this idea of mindfulness, right, living in the moment, it's some advice that I have received a number of times from people who are counselors and therapists and friends and, you know, administrators. But for a very long time, you know, my own faith tradition is Catholic, like, the idea of taking some time for yourself to just be in a space, to sit with discomfort, not to try to solve the discomfort. I think students, particularly today's students, have a very keen BS detector. And if you let them know, hey, that is a great question, I'm not sure we have all the answers on that yet. I'll be honest. I'm feeling some nerves on that one too. I think you actually catch a lot of, like, you know, credibility in just owning a little bit of vulnerability. And maybe there's a connection there too, is that to be credible means that you are, you know, like, the voice in the room that people trust. But to be vulnerable means that you are the person in the room that says, hey, I don't pretend to be the hero. I don't pretend to have all the answers. But there's a unique relationship there. And please don't be a sociopath and exploit it. But, like, if you lead with vulnerability, say, hey, you know, I'm not sure on this one, guys. I'd love your thoughts. Or, hey, I'm really struggling with this. Or, hey, this pandemic, do you want to take 5 minutes and talk about what's going on? Or, hey, this election cycle, it's kind of scary, and there's been a lot of pressure from a lot of sides on this. I don't know how you all are feeling, but just creating a space, and that's very therapist-type language, but, like, creating a space in your classroom where you can say, hey, whatever you guys are bringing to the table here, I'm okay with it. You want to talk about it? That's great. not to be weird, I said on the podcast today, but like, remember that someone in this school loves you, who cares about you, who says, hey, I don't want to be a savior. I don't want to be like the, oh my gosh, every one of these little babies, if I could just bring them back to Jesus or anything else. Nope, I'm not there for that. Rather, I want to create an environment where no one needs saving. I want to create an environment where everyone is safe and supported and feels welcome to be brought to the conversation and included. I think that ableism is uncool. I said that repeatedly in my career and on this podcast a number of times. Racism, sexism, bigotry, questions of making people feel bad about their gender or their faith tradition. Even though I work in a Catholic school and I'm sure there's a bad rap that I get for it, and people who hate me on the internet, hi, by the way, I'm sure you listen to my podcast every week to see all the things I say that are horribly offensive. Nope, you can go kick rocks with flip-flops. There, I've said it. But like, I work in a Catholic school and I am very aware that there is a lot of cultural baggage and maybe some cultural shame and some cultural responsibility that comes with, hey, you know, Catholics, our hands are not clean in this world of, you know, right and wrong too. I agree. Catholic Church has done a bunch of stuff that I cannot in good conscience sit there and defend. People have, in the name of Jesus, done all sorts of stuff that have made people feel bullied, blamed, or shamed, or forgotten, or marginalized, or made to feel invisible, or worse. And I take full ownership and responsibility for saying that I am aware of that, though it's not my fault. We have to work towards, dismantling those things. Again, all it takes for evil is to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And again, going back to Mark Twain, right? Like, if you're just telling the truth, man, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. And that can come through in small ways, too, because, like, maybe we'll take the last 2-3 minutes of this podcast and talk about that. But I meet with so many teachers every week, both online and in person, who say, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm like, okay, so say that. Say that to your kids. Like, in this moment, guys, here's what I want to see happen. It might not work, though. It might be a total disaster. What would be the worst thing if you said that? Or, hey, guys, this lesson today, I'm not going to lie, kind of tanked it. Didn't think we did our best. I thought we'd get it done faster. I thought we'd have more to say. People want to honk at me. That's awesome. Whatever you have done, taking the time to just own it and, like, do an autopsy of it in real time. Hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do y'all think today went? If we had a chance to do it again, what would we do differently? What could we do differently? Because the class is just as much theirs as it is yours, right? Giving those authentic moments for literal vulnerability to say, let's create a space where we don't have to solve every problem. Rather, we can sit with some discomfort and say, yeah, sometimes it's not going to work. Some days we're going to try to fight the dragons and the dragons are going to get us. You know, some days you eat the bear, some days the bear eats you. I love, love, love that idea. And I think the Sacha Baron Cohen speech was great because of that. You know, because it says in this era of fake news, in this era of aggregate social media and algorithms that can push out whatever, it can be very easy to get caught up in the trap, to get caught up in the rat race, to get caught up in the if it bleeds, it leads, and the most salacious thing. So we feel the need to kind of sweeten the pot when we tell stories, or when we tell, you know, even the truth, we feel like we have to wrap it up in a little bit of fiction to get people excited about it. Something that I've been working on in my own life in the past 14 months, I guess, due to personal issues that have nothing to do with teaching at all, is just being 100% honest, 100% like radically honest. And it usually involves sitting with some discomfort and leading with vulnerability and say, hey, you know, I'm not okay. I just want to let you know. I will get me okay. I'm not sitting here and like, I'm not spiraling. I'm not having a, you know, oh my gosh, what was me kind of thing. But nah, this kind of sucks. And I'm going to own that. And by owning that, you know, giving words to, giving a name to those feelings of discomfort, of distress, of doubt, of frustration, of confusion, I found that students are very willing, and I'm privileged because I certainly work with high school students, but they're willing to respond in kind and say, hey, me too. And they'll shoot me an email and say, hey, Mr. Meehan, you always are so cool. And not like, yo, man, I love your style, yo. I don't know how kids talk these days. But like, you seem like you're kind of present, you're calm and collected, mindfulness, right? Like present in that moment. You make it feel like a safe place for me to talk about whatever it is. And then my instructional coaching, people say the same thing, like, you know, hey, thanks for giving me a sounding board, a place to just sort of, you know, with no judgment, just to be heard. I'm like, you know, you just give a little bit of that vulnerability, and it really can be an effective way to bring people into the conversation. To let them know that they're seen, supported, whatever they're going through. Because especially in this year of a pandemic, you know, I'm going to use one more from the Catholic tradition before we're done today. We talk about giving ourselves grace, you know, giving grace to our students, to our colleagues, to our admin, assuming goodwill, you know, presuming best intentions. I mean, that could get risky because people will do all sorts of bad things, but they were well-intended. But like, truly, recognize that everyone's going through it right now, whether that's because of, you know, questions about racial protests that are still lingering from the summer, questions about the upcoming election, which are just around the corner, questions about this pandemic, or questions about loss or loved ones, or, you know, self-harm, suicide, bullying, divorce, separation, any myriad things, you know, eating disorders. There are so many things that our kids are going through, and I don't want to be their counselor. That's not my job. I don't want to be their savior. That is not my vocation. But my aim is to be their mentor, to be their, you know, advocate, to be their ally, and to let them know, hey, I'm human. I'm going through it. Don't have all the answers, and that's okay if you don't too. We're going to do the best we can with what we were given today. Today is fundamentally different because you showed up. Not to freak me out, but like, someone in this building really does care about you, loves you for the human that you are. You were made in the image and likeness of something that is wonderful. There's no mistakes in you. You learn differently. That's cool. ADD, you know, autism, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, you know, any sort of mental health issues, whatever you're working through, man, like, you are beautiful for who you are. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, if you don't tell a lie, you don't have to remember anything. Just remember who you are. Like, I love that. I love it. So anyways, that's my rant for this week. Consider giving yourself that time for some vulnerability in your classrooms, and small ways that you can bring vulnerability to lead in a conversation with your students. Not that you're in a therapy circle where you sit there and pat each other back and cry tears, but so that you can let them know, hey, I'm here for you. I'm a credible source who knows this English stuff or math stuff, science stuff, but I don't pretend to be a perfect human who has it all figured out. It can go a long way, and it really does help people feel safe and supported to come back again. God bless you. Stay safe. We'll be back next week with more. This is a long one this week. Hope you're well. Hope you are staying positive and testing negative. How's that for a creepy sign off? Be well. Talk to you next week. Thanks again.